demek defet ol demedir zaten. Hmm. Dile bir veri lav yani değişir. La defeti koymuştu. Tehlike bu topatı falan dedim. Çünkü bir şey var. Ön rivayet edip o kapasiti kuruldu. Senden. Sen bir vayet edip. Bu zemde bu da genç. Hani işte imbe çok gidip. Adıvata ayına bağında sıkıntı olmalı. That was a funny thing for me. When I made a meeting, they are told that everything is happening because of elections. I was taken up. I didn't want them to get involved so much on that because we're just using an tool that is not really correct. Election of an association can never be an election of a political party. The association is not about getting power. It's to run the organization that I elected to run. Then putting everything to election was really a very, very suspicious way of putting things forward. Because what he does is simply hidden information. The elections and therefore can't do anything here. Every delegation is because of election. I thought that it may be, at the point that we are raising, this stuff will come back again after the May fixing. Just to have a real discussion with Safa and see what is it that we can do. Members think that generally the allegations are very bad in the dossier. The fact that general whistleblowers don't write their names. They don't write their names, so the whistleblowers say these are issues that are affecting the organization, these are problems. But they don't say that I'm from Nigeria, because otherwise they may not survive. That is the main issue why people are doing this. But because we think that we should really collect on the matter generally. And then, because they may be true, they may not be true. But because it was also submitted by your team, and they told you submitted something to a committee because you are there to suspect that there is some element of truth in it. Because we wouldn't understand why you achieve a next presentation, they also submit something that is paper. And then that they are not even approving it. It was a very funny way of doing it. It was a very funny way of doing it. Under normal circumstances, we don't do that. And I guess that's what we're doing is to give us more information, which I appreciate it highly. But we must go to that information now and then flash that. And then whether this thing is correct, this thing is not correct. And hopefully the Commission on Mets is in a conference soon, and we can then move on to the next one. Welcome, boss.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome. Today, Vice President, we don't want you to answer any questions. Mm-hmm. Just questions are coming in September. And then hopefully, we are transforming court so and participate. The Western Cape will have a club. That is the community I have left. Not well, I think there's platinum cars. I think that's doing well. Pumalanga has no class. The case is coming back. And Eastern Cape, there's nothing. They have one the park United and the high schools are not of course no only a night school the park United. Chamber Royal, I'm not sure what happened to it, it's gone. There are a lot of problems in that park is gone. I think even the Southern King is going to be gone.
I will tell you, Chair, who caused that about to go under. Another city.
Oh,
is
okay.
It? Once people leave their base, traditional base, they die.
Okay. Then the support has also been better. And then there was also a company the commission goes to. It would take us many years to develop of our sport management. Just professional sport management. Not even coaching, just to have real management of sport. This is taking long enough. And then it's like club that are named there. The club, anyway, both when they are playing, from of course, now they are like that one that they pick up. And then when the when Newcastle plays against Fulham, there are 85,000 people, let alone Manchester United. And then just in round in general, how we run ourselves. And then, of course, can add the TV, but of course, there's TV in London. There's TV in London. I think the argument that the TV is taking spectators, there's something wrong because during the times of Abdul Bamshi, the stadium used to be full.
Stadium really used to be full.
The soccer is everywhere in the news, the Abdul Bamshi encouraged people. Now this is very quiet, generally. The cat funeral. not the right, but also the camp should be well organized. Sometimes teams that are playing, they are part of a team. I will never go and see their games, to the state. I like T3 Mazzelli though. And the Pirates is one thing I support Pirates now. I don't support Pirates in South Africa because they won against T3 Mazzelli, I think I support them. How it works. And I think some of us will take some of those issues quietly. Not in the media, but quietly, as we meet with your cousins, have some discussion about how they treat kids. And that referee was almost the father
referee. You see, it's not only about teams with the DRC. DRC people just hate salary. The other time you went there, we were observing elections, the recent elections. You know, we were stoned from one corner to another corner. And when they subsided, to them it was about South Africa. So we had to go and hide in a hotel because we were not seen there as South Africa. So now there is this team in Goma, and we are sending our troops there. We think this team will ever improve.
Well, we are talking about soccer. And we speak to soccer because it's the easiest one. These are the ones that are raising. Of course, if you guys don't come, you also raise them. And then I think also I think of you. General, I think, was a team for the but I mean, a very kind people, they're good in their land. But I feel we must work on sports and sort of develop it and then stop craziness. Because I think crazy is a problem. What about sports? That's craziness. And professionality is a big problem. They are unprofessional play. There is one very bad. There are teams that are run very bad by one person. You start his player must play, he doesn't like this player, head out. He's almost Pazza arrangement. Pazza arrangement. Even in the Somalis, Pazza are run head. There are many Pazza everywhere. Somali, the Ethiopians, the Bangladeshi, the Chinese. They run head. Then sometimes you run out 40-40. Well, I think though, comparing rugby a soccer, an athlete, another figure. It's an income balance. But what we know is that the transformation challenge is better. Yeah, professional development. And then soccer, little bit there. Athletics, cricket is trying now after the Nicholas is closed. They had it mainly in finances.
I should have taken over athletics from.
That's before, during that time.
I was told that I must go and take over. I said, no. Unless I'm invited by athletes themselves, I won't. So then I went there. I said, okay, no, it's fine.
You didn't mind the athletics?
No, they wanted me. I said, no.
Why you went away?
I didn't want it.
I'm sure then you're going to run away from Papa.
No.
You're going to run that thing far better.
Ah, Papa. I regret. Luckily, I went there and gave me all the documentation. I was waiting for the invite. They must send an invite via Papa so that I can go. We introduced, there were three teams, Chatterbox, Chamber Royal, Liverpool.
Yeah.
In fact, Chatter Independence Stadium was our stadium. When it started, because of his policy and his sport, they considered that as partial. And then what happened? They had to go to East London. And in East London is the home of boxing, not soccer. So they rot there, they died there. And second one was Blackburn. Lebanon was coming from Badawaya, they had to go to my region. Precisely because of the same thing of facility. No facility, they were forced to go to East London. Now they are actually being taken out of the ICU because they are playing in Badawaya now. Lebanon Rovers.
Okay.
And they're including Temple Royals. Because in Badawaya, you go there. See. What is that thing? The artificial turf that was in Angelizwe.
Yeah.
It was mismanaged, and there was no way that they could play football. The way we deal with the municipality is the best. They are killing the sport there. The other one in Sigi, next to my hometown. Again, they had to go to East London. They died there. So we are producing for East London. For water for amateur television. They are killing all our clubs. As unfortunate. I say in Eastern Cape, rugby is in EP, water is Cogden. Football is transfer region over. As well, we have got Maluti. Yeah, Matole B.
That is
cricket. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have divided that province into three kinds.
Okay.
No, three. But
all are going down though.
Hey man.
And you go to that.
I'll tell you. One MEC was there, and she's no longer there. I was saying, well, there's no money for you. I can't give you anything. Better you, for people have got an impression that I've got these millions that I've given to the Premier Division. I think they have to have nothing. No, I won't give you.
Development.
That is awesome.
And if you visit your area anyway, we take into account that village that you went to, Makut. And we take into Mina, in our city.
Okay.
Which was a younger legacy airport. 1.5 million. And for me, it's a completely different thing.
Pushing. I'm a cool post.
Yeah. Our 50 million went down today.
I'm telling you.
Okay. But it's an abstract class, almost.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not important.
No, that's important.
I'm sure our team, they must promote them. So because they must be dressed in it.
Good
team.
We actually want to challenge the team that
you can bring your cows.
A lot of things. I just guess that the minute was in the door was in kind of yesterday. I think we would want to be pretty here before you appear before you.
Good morning, Honorable Minister and Deputy Minister, Director General, and we inform Honorable Minister that you were coming and you landed in the airport this morning, but also you must be very tired for a long distance, and there's a very far away place, and thank you for coming. And then today's tea, though, we shouldn't squeeze you, just take the half step to and the tea outside, just enjoy a little bit. And then you mustn't ambush you when you're not even ready. And then...
I'm born ready.
And then you are not coming, Honorable Minister. We are just drilling Honorable Nonkunyan about SAFA development in the Eastern Cape. And in fact, I think as you go back of the meeting, you want to call a special meeting or stuff and give a real report on some of the issues. Now, thank you very much, colleagues. I think we should allow then the team, the minister and the team to make a presentation on the strategic plan and another issue, Honorable Minister, because we are preparing for our budget vote on the 23rd. Of May, I think it's next week, and then it's next week, and then hence we felt very strong that we should have a discussion with the minister and the chief, just again to take support to the next level of development. And thank you very much for coming. And let us invite the minister to take us through. Honorable Minister, take the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the Honourable Members of Parliament, Deputy Minister. Chair, I think our apology has been tabled. We're from the World Association Anti-Doping meeting relative members in Canada, Montreal, over the weekend. As prescribed, sports and recreation tabled its annual performance plan for the 2013-2014 financial year to Parliament in March 2013. The performance indicators captured in the 2013-14 APP are aimed to realize the strategic objectives outlined in the 2012-2016 strategic plan of the Department as well as in the National Sport and Recreation Plan. As indicated in the 2013-2014 APP, SRSA will continue to strive towards the actualization of its vision of and winning an active nation. In terms of active, our participation levels as a nation remain relatively low, and to address this, SRSA will dedicate resources to progress fostering recreation and mass participation. As a winning nation, we certainly have pockets of excellence as showcased at the 2012 London Olympics. However, this comes at a high cost. It is publicly acknowledged that we can do better, and to this end, SRSA will engage stakeholders, including the primary delivery agent, the South African Sports Confederation Olympic Committee, to review the delivery of programs relating to excellence and high performance. The year ahead will see SSA setting the agenda for sports in South Africa. The aim of the department is to, I quote, maximize access, development and excellence at all levels of participation in sport and recreation, and to improve social cohesion, nation building, and the quality of life of all South Africans, close quote. The vision is confirmed, but it is acknowledged that there are gaps when translating the vision into practice, and 2013 will see this being addressed. This process was initiated by the drafting of the first ever National Sports and Recreation Plan, which received cabinet approval in May 2012. The 2013-2014 Annual Performance Plan was also developed to assure that SSA addresses the strategic direction emanating from the National Development Plan and government priorities. On 19 February 2013, Ministers Trevor Manuel and Collins Chavani briefed the media on the implementation of the NDP. It is encouraging to note that recreation and leisure is recognized as a core element in the NDP. Following a thorough scan of the NDP, SRSA ensured that all sport-related issues referred to in the NDP are properly covered in the strategic documents of the department. The NDP recognizes that sports plays an important role in promoting wellness and social cohesion, and treats sport as a cross-cutting issue with related proposals in the chapters on education, health, and nation building. It is acknowledged that sports and physical education are an integral part of a child's development. The NDP states that the best place to instill changes in lifestyles and behavior is a school. The NDP also advocates that schools should have access to adequate facilities and urges all schools to be supported to participate in organized sports at local, district, provincial and national levels. Sport and recreation teaches discipline, and it is an integral part component of a healthy lifestyle and enables South Africans to share common space. It is clear from the above excerpts from the NDP that sports and recreation play a pivotal role in promoting wellness and social cohesion, and that benefit can be derived by both the education and health sectors. The NDP also acknowledges the significant role that sport plays with regards to fostering nation building. The following are some of the key projects for the 2013 financial year: South African Schools National Championship, National Indigenous Games, Sports Awards, Soweto Tennis, World Conference, Netball, and the National Basketball League. There are five programs in the department, and some of the main activities planned for the 2013-2014 financial year, including the following. Program 1, Administration. In evaluating the human resources required to implement the SSRP, Sport and Recreation Plan, it was evident that the current structure of SRSA was totally inadequate and inappropriate in some areas. The new structure is finalized, and job evaluation of all proposed posts were completed and submitted to the DBSA. The organizational review of the department is high on the agenda for the 2013-2014 financial year. The review is to be formed by the strategic imperatives as captured in the Strat Plan and National Development Plan. The process to address the existing space challenges imposed by the current building which SRSA is occupying will be addressed through a detailed needs analysis and scoping exercise where staff will be asked to provide inputs. Growth projections along a 20-year timeline and migration plans will be drafted. It is imperative that the new location includes space for a sports house to ease the current administrative burden experienced by the smaller national federation. A non-financial staff incentive scheme, the Green Stars, has been introduced to recognize and reward staff delivering work of an exceptional standard. Sub-program legislation, Act, National Sport and Recreation Act, following the adoption of the Sports Plan Amendment to this Act, needs to be considered. South African Boxing Act. This Act will be repealed following the promulgation of the SA Combat Sport Bill. Safety at Sports and Recreational Events, South African Institute for Drug Free Sports Act. Bills and decisions to be promulgated in 2014 is the South African Combat Sport Bill 2013, Fitness Industry Bill 2013. Regulations, recognition of sport and recreation bodies, Regulations 2010, bidding and hosting of international sports and recreational events, regulations to be promulgated in 2030, funding of sports or recreational bodies regulations, safety of sports and recreational events. Sub-program communication. Innovative methods to revise the Your Sport publication has begun. The popular magazine informs the public about the work of SRSA and creates an awareness of the role of government in sports. In terms of promotional mascot, the Takuma mascot will be deployed to promote the 2014 African Nation Championships, while the 2013 World Conference on Doping Sport will be provided with the use of the Hakozonke mascot. The Shibo mascot and related branded merchandise will be produced in 2013 and marketed to school children. A better idea to attract the youth to participate will be in production of the sport pass. The sport pass will have a metro, will have a retro pass look, will work on a similar basis to the old-fashioned ice cream van that attracts people with an easy identifiable tool. Exceptional athletes, coaches, administrators, and technical officials have the opportunity to be profiled in the Little Green Book, the second edition of which will be produced in July 2013. Selected athletes will be publicly acknowledged at the prestigious South African Sports Awards in November 2013 at the Sun City Super Bowl. The awards will celebrate and reward achievement in sport and provide a platform for luminaries in sports on and off the field to be acknowledged. In an effort to further recognize our sporting greats, preliminary engagements will commence to 2013 to investigate the feasibility of establishing a National Sport Hall of Fame. It is envisaged that this could be managed as a public entity by the Department of Arts and Culture. A project to research and document the history of sport in the country was successfully initiated during April 2013. The exhibition launched is entitled, I quote, Meet the Heroes of the Sport Struggle, Remembering Sport in the Struggle, a Human Rights Perspective Exhibition, close quote. One of the programs benefiting from the Andrew Mlangeni Golf Development Day is the Green Jacket Program, which was established in 2011 to recognize men and women who have excelled in sports, either as players or officials. They are rewarded with a sought-after green jacket in recognition of their sporting prowess and achievement in their play days. An inaugural Ministerial Golf Day will be hosted in October 2013 to provide a platform to interact with stakeholders, donors, and potential corporate sponsors for the sector. A client satisfaction survey assessing the efficiency and effectiveness of SRSA will be conducted in 2013. Program 2, Sports Support Services. Historically, SRSA provided financial support to up to 17 national federations, the anonymous reflected in the MDEF. Considering the current financial constraints and return on investment, more strategic investments will need to be made to national federations will be graded to ascertain overall assessment of needs, and SRSA will then work closely with those federations requiring institutional support. In future, funding to all federations will be instituted according to recognized sport bodies grant frameworks. Funding will be provided across 2 tiers, guaranteed funding, fundamentally for administration, and conditional funding, which will constitute the bulk of the funding that will address issues of governance, transformation, and performance. SRSA will also prioritize federations and ensure that prioritized federations are capacitated to optimally deliver their programs to realize the SRSA vision of an active and winning nation. A Netball Premier League will be launched in 2013. The Basketball League, after being launched in March 2013, will commence in September 2013. In 2013, tennis is earmarked to benefit from additional support with the revival of the Soweto Tennis Open being a prioritized event for April 2013. Financial and institutional support will be rendered to Boxing South Africa as a public entity, and efforts will be made in 2013 to assist the entity to obtain a clean budget. A boxing endeavor will be hosted in June 2013. SRSA will continue to support the Sports Trust, whose primary focus is on assisting communities by providing them with equipment, facilities, and other resources required for development of sport and recreation. In 2013-14, SRSA will explore the establishment of the Taban Levese Player Benefit Program to assist indigent athletes with their identified social and insurance needs. one of the key components of the sports plan is the transformation charter and scorecard. The baseline of transformation in South African sports need to be determined, and the eminent persons group that was appointed in 2012 will fast track this. Because of the importance of transformation for the future of South African sports, it is imperative that SRSA delivers on this focus area. SRSA will conduct a comprehensive audit of clubs in 17 of the 16 national federations, supported and determine what their primary needs are. A system to classify and grade clubs will also be developed. Club support and development will be offered on the basis of an amended franchise system, with selected national federations being provided with expertise regarding club governance and the provision of standardized documents. Key deliverables for 2030 will include the production of a club toolkit, a framework within which to establish and support clubs, and the initiation of the amended club franchise system. SRSA will assist identified federations to develop sport-specific training programs that can be accredited by CAFSITA and to support them to be accredited training service providers. The existence of accredited training programs combined with the availability of accredited service providers are key elements to expanding education and training in South Africa. A talent identification and development strategy will be developed and implemented in conjunction with a holistic academy system. Assistance will be provided to support the Dr. Khumalo Football Academy, where talented young stars can be groomed for excellence. The South African National Defence Force, the South African Police, and the Department of Correctional Services will be approached to investigate the possibility of talented athletes being supported by their respective infrastructure. Operation Victory Lab will be initiated in partnership with the South African National Defence Force. Programs catering for the specific needs of the sports and recreation sector will be supported by a comprehensive research and development program. Students benefiting from the postgraduate development program in sports science will be supported with access to SRSA administrative resources to assist them with their studies. The department will work with ASCOG in ensuring that the athletes that succeed at the national competition level are supported and developed into elite athletes. The delivery of the South African Sports and Recreation Conference, as recalled, needs to be improved, and the conference will be marketed to a broader group of potential participants. The Department of Health has drafted a bill on alcohol advertising. SRSA will be responsible for the commissioning and coordination of research to measure what the impact of the act will be on sport and recreation. The Think Sport Journal provides a platform for intellectual debate within the sector and needs to be established as a respected publication. The second edition, coupled with a seminar, will be produced in September 2013. Government's commitment to anti-doping in sport requires continual support. SRSA, together with the City of Johannesburg, will be hosting the World Anti-Doping Agency Conference. The World Conference on Doping in Sport from 12 to 15 November 2013, and the spin-offs from this need to be capitalized upon and integrated into sustainable programs. SRSA will continue to financially support the South African Institute for Drug Free Sport, SAIDS, and the Bloemfontein Laboratory to ensure that compliance to the WADA code is adhered to. Program 3, mass participation. The Ministerial Advisory Committee on Recreation will assist SRSA to actualize the essence of recreation. Over the medium term, the department will develop a civil governance framework for recreation to strengthen the delivery of recreation programs. Cycling will be used to promote non-authorized sport. Initiatives in this regard will engage with the Very Standard Foundation, and SA Cycling and the Cycle for Life program will be launched in November 2013. A new initiative in 2013 will be support of the Move for Health Day, which is an international event created in 2002 by the World Health Organization to promote physical activity. SRSA will continue to fund Love Life, but the funding will be aligned with the objectives of the sports plan and the SRSA. SRSA will assist the provincial departments to ensure that the delivery of the National Youth Camp is a success. The 2013 National Youth Camp, held in all 9 provinces, is scheduled for 23-27 September 2013. The purpose of the camp is to teach young people leadership and life skills, national pride and practical lessons on social cohesion in a rural outdoor environment through adventure and other fun activities. The National Sport Volunteer Corps program was successfully launched in 2012 Registration started in 2012, and this needs to be sustained to enable deployment by 2014. At the end of the 2012-2013 financial year, 864 sports ledgers were registered. The Indigenous Games will be repositioned as a family festival with a vibrant carnival atmosphere. It will take place from 20 to 24 September 2013. The Golden Games will continue to include competitive events for older persons with the conviction that people can significantly improve the quality of their later years by staying active and fully engaged in life. The Big Walk will be staged again on 4th October 2013, encouraging participation in physical activity. Within the public sector, an interdepartmental league will be formally established in August 2013. The league will expand to include additional sporting codes as it develops, but it will initially focus on football and netball. Modified sport is identified in the sports plan as an important tool to enhance the basis of sports participation in the country. The main aim of modified sport is to introduce new participants to sport in a simplified manner with a focus on fun and enjoyment rather than rules and competition. Sport for social change and development will be repackaged and expanded, and sport will be used as a vehicle to catalyze change in the following areas: the environment, HIV and AIDS, sport against crime, sport for peace and development, and so forth. In addressing the priority of rural development, the department will support the rural sports improvement program under the guidance of the National House of Traditional Leaders. The program will involve a ministerial outreach to rural areas to distribute sports equipment. The Ndum Langeni Golf Development Day will be held again in September 2013 to expose amateur golfers to a professional tournament and to give them the opportunity to play alongside professional golfers. A portion of the funds raised from the South African Sports Awards will be channeled into the Ndum Langeni Chapter of the South African Golf Development Board. This chapter will be based in Soweto and will provide approximately 50 young and aspiring golfers the opportunity to receive professional coaching and assistance with the equipment and attire required. A further initiative to honor an icon will be in Agra, Nelson Mandela Sports Day, which will be launched in June 2013 in partnership with the South African Rugby Union and the South African Football Association. The Inter-Schools League is a competitive program where each school will register its school team to participate in the leagues. Five competition levels leading to the South African Schools National Championships. The National Schools Sport League will be launched on 30 March 2013, after which the championship will be assertively marketed in 2013 to raise profile of the event. Initiatives are underway to establish a ministerial sports bursary to offer talented children identified at the National Multicoded Age Group tournaments an opportunity to study at sports-focused schools. Those athletes who fail to progress to an elite level will have the opportunity to join the club and continue to participate at a social level. The management of the mass participation in sport development conditional grant requires particular attention. Compliance from the provinces has generally been poor, and the funding categories applied were so broad that they were open to different interpretations. Program 4, internationalizing an event. An international relations strategy with a rollout plan will be drafted during 2013. This will include a shopping list of needs. Various bilateral exchanges are envisaged for 2013. South Africa is playing a leading role in projects of global importance as reflected in the international agreements with UNESCO, the UN Sport for Development and Peace, International Working Group, IADA and WADA, amongst others. South Africa will continue to support the full integration of the Supreme Council for Sport in Africa into the African Union, structured both at regional and continental levels. In an effort to perpetuate these selected national and international sporting events, exhibitions or conferences will continue to be used to showcase South Africa as a sports tourism destination. In 2013-2014, the department will commence with a preliminary preparation for the hosting EGAIA at the 2014 Commonwealth Games. Institutional and intra-governmental support will be provided for approved events to ensure that they are successfully hosted. The approach will be altered over 2013-2014 with SRSA providing more comprehensive support to approximately 5 major events and mere approval endorsement provided to other events approved in line with the bidding and hosting of international sport and recreation events regulations. The ACON 2013 Championship closed-out report will be presented to Cabinet and distributed in 2013. Preparations for the conference CAF African Nations Championship Chair to take place in South Africa in 2014 will intensify. International travel for sports people, including SRSA officials, will continue to be supported by facilitating requests for assistance in requiring visas and passports. Program 5, Facilities Coordination. The sports plan provides the department to develop a national facilities plan and to establish a geographical information system to assist with the database on facilities and the development of the plan. This will be preceded by a comprehensive audit of all existing facilities, where facilities will be rated and classified. In order to effectively plan for and manage sports and recreation facilities, a common standardized classification and categorization system is necessary. This grading and classification framework will be used to inform the updating of the current facility norms and standards, which will be gazetted to ensure compliance. The Ndumlangeni Community Golf Course Development Program, as a beneficiary of the Ndumlangeni Golf Development Program, will be given attention in 2013. There is clearly a need to develop golf courses in communities, particularly previously disadvantaged communities, as part of the golf development program. The department will initiate the development and or refurbishment of children's play parks by facilitating discussions between the relevant municipalities organizations wishing to invest with corporate social investments. An announcement in this regard is expected in September 2013. Considering the substantial financial investment made in building and refurbishing stadia for the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the department will ascertain how these stadia are being maintained and used and will produce a status report per year. The department will work with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, the South African Local Government Association and municipalities to maximize the use of the portion of the municipal infrastructure ground earmarked for building sport facilities. At the National Sports Endeavour on 21 and 22 November 2011, it was agreed that further debate with SALGA is required regarding the possibility of transferring the 50% ring-fenced grant from MIG to the budget of SRSA. In an effort to encourage participation, the department will appeal for the delivery of community gyms by municipalities that can be used in open spaces within communities. Boxers and athletes in the Eastern Cape have been identified to be among those who should benefit from the provision of a suitable facility. It is envisaged that a large and more accessible gym that will cater for boxing and other sports as well as recreational activities will be identified in Tanzania and be turned into a fully operational facility within 2013-2014. SRSA and the German Development Bank will continue with the rollout of the program Youth Development Against Violence Through Sport. The overall objective of the Youth Development Against Violence Through Sport program is to use ball sports, specifically football, as a catalyst for transmitting life skills to children and youth in order to reduce violence and other social issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister, for the presentation. And Honourable Members, I think we have taken note on some of the issues that you may want to expand in terms of discussion. And we should members then deal with some of the issues that are raised, and that is about the strategic plan. This is a strategic plan that are provided and given to us now by the minister. That was circulated to us, I think, was on the Director General this time. We caught them earlier. And then thank you for that. I think you have read the part. I think next year it should be earlier than earlier. It should be earlier than earlier. And then, Honourable Members, this is the presentation, and then it's in front of you. And Honourable Sindane, you wanted to make a point?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I just wanted to thank the presentation by the Minister. I think he is sort of also stressing and emphasizing what we have on our engagement with the department earlier this year. So It's just that it's an emphasis, and I am actually satisfied that the minister talked on the theme, because I was checking on the theme as I was reading the documents to say from the documents that I have received. It stated that 2012 was having its own theme, and 2013 has the theme of education. But I was not actually conversant to say, how do I link that a theme to some of the areas, especially in which we want to make a debate on the recreation. But as the minister was presenting, it came out clearly what is it that is envisaged for 2013 in the recreation. I think, Chairperson, for that, it actually gave us some kind of clarity and also more information on what the department intends to do in 2013, especially paying attention to their theme. But Chairperson, I would have loved also that the minister shared with us maybe some strengths as well as challenges in the realization of these outcomes, because that makes us, when we stand there, have the sort of understanding to say what is it that we want to give the recommendation to the House for the department, because you can come up with beautiful objectives, but the implementation due to some constraints, be it financial, be it on your personnel or what have you. So I thought that the minister would be in a position to give check that with us, so that we know exactly where is his successes, where is his challenges, how does he sort of think that the portfolio can sort of assist in unlocking if there are blockages, if they are. And also, Chairperson, to set just the earlier remark when I said when we're doing the other business on the signing of putting down the list of people present and what have you, especially on their documents here. Chairperson, I know people will say, okay, Honorable Sindani is of a school of the old, of the protocol. But from this end, you see the signatories of the political personnel at the bottom of this document, and they are at the end. I think maybe in my old school, it's appropriate that you see the minister, deputy minister, and then it follows like that, and then even the signatures, you see the flow of the signatures per protocol. I think, Chairperson, maybe it's maybe the new style, I don't know. If it's not, maybe from the old style, it was actually giving meaning. Thank you.
I thought you are very
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Minister, my one issue is that we can have all these documents, but if you go out there is no facilities. I've been to some areas for the past 3 weeks. Last weekend I was in George. There's a big damage this weekend. And if it rains there, it's just an open field. No, I've been going to Old Sun Chief. I can't be chased from Old Sun Chief. So, to me, Minister, really, you didn't engage with the officials and the municipalities, and you see that really there is no interest in this thing. And to me, I think at your minimum, this thing should be raised with the MECs, and they should raise it with their counterparts of local government. In some areas, people have to pay to play. I don't want to talk about schools. It also there is a secondary school. It's got a big ground, I think you can even do a big facility there. But there is no money. I've been speaking to rural development and I'm still speaking with them. So to me, the issue is we can have all these documents, but to implement these things without the facilities is really a big problem. I don't want to talk about rural again.
Thank you. I echo the sentiments expressed by the Honourable Tachi. When it comes to you can have these brilliant plans, but it's the implementation of it. And the fact that it is the attitude of some of the officials at local government. If you ask them why are they not using the extra cent for development of sports facilities, they tell you, listen, that is very, very low down on our priority, on the list of our priorities. And Mr. Minister, I think that there must be some oversight of what is happening at local and provincial level. Because when we get to a place like Islam Chairperson, then you are told a story, and when you go and investigate, nothing is happening on the ground. Cows are grazing where there should be facilities. They tell you about fence. They put up a fence, I don't know how many times, as if, you know, I think they misunderstand the word fencing, a sport called fencing chairperson. But this, the fact that they keep on putting up fences at an exorbitant amount. And then the contractors run away and they are paid over and over and over again for the same facility. I think there should be more, what's the word now, exact oversight over what is happening at local level. The only, and perhaps that is the good point of this presentation, is the fact that you are trying now to sort of get the 15% to be paid to the department. I can say all of us, because that is a gripe that we all have. We will support you in this, because in that way we can sort of have control of that 15%. You know exactly what is, then you can use the money. We can use the money for sport. I think that is a very, very good recommendation, Chairperson, and that is something that we must really support and make sure that, you know, I know they have their rules and regulations, but at least then we have control over what is going to happen with the money that is sent, because that is our problem, Chairperson. Money sent, and then it is not used for the purpose for which it is sent. Now, I see that you're also going to have a ministerial golf chairperson. I want to be invited. I'm also a golfer. No, I can't be a celebrity for the last time. And the reason why I'm saying the last time, Chairperson, this will be the last time that I will be participating in this debate. I'm retiring next year, and I will leave it over to the young people of this country. But, you know, this sport is so my passion, Chairperson. And really, I still want to be involved in sport, but I see you are being again, money to love life. I want to know why, Chairperson. Because, Chairperson, let me tell you that we all know that we don't see love life around. They also have beautiful reports, but they are not seen on the ground, Chairperson. And therefore, I have a big problem with money for love life. Netball is basketball. I think netball is a priority. They came here, Chairperson, and they presented, and they put their case. And it is a heart-rending case that they put here, Chairperson. And therefore, I believe that they should be supported. But the problem I have is with basketball. They haven't been to us. I don't know. In my time, as I've said, I'm here for many, many a year. But I haven't seen them around. So really, and what informs you to then prioritize them as priority number two? We want to really want to know, because, you know, they must come and tell us what they're doing, Chairperson. That is our purpose. We must do oversight. The AFCON report, yes, I would love to have it and see, Chairperson. We want to know how much was spent, and if it was it was handled at a profit. Because that is also important. It's one that we must box in South Africa. Chairperson, I don't know whether there is an interest in boxing South Africa by the chairperson of boxing. I want to be frank. You know, we started to get him here. I went to the minister's presentation the other day about boxing South Africa. He wasn't there. And you know, in the meantime, the boxers on the ground, they are. I can give names of people who contacted. There's a Mr. Kaya Fus Ntante of the New Age Boxing Club. Just listen to the stories of the people, how they're struggling to get going, and how there's no support for them. And this is a guy from the Eastern Cape. And that is where everything is happening. And the people on the ground, they don't see anything. Lastly, Chairperson. You know, South Africa sport has a history. And the presentation was made to us, Chairperson, by two ladies, I don't know whether you remember, about how this history should be recorded. The other day, a great cricket of the old school, Charles Govender, passed away. You know what? Not because I played against him. Yes, I played some sport too in my day. And this guy passed away. And his history and his story was sold in some newspaper. And I thought, there Charles goes. And where is the record of what his contribution? The record. And I think that Chairperson, we must really get into the history of all sport in South Africa. From all angles, Chairperson. It must be an inclusive thing, and something that brings the country together, Chairperson. Because we all have histories, and we all contributed. And therefore, I see that you have all these things here, but you know, I'm not sure whether we will sort of get a true history of the Majolas in the Eastern Cape. Perhaps you know Gayla Majola, but he had a father called Eric Majola. One of the greatest cricketers that ever lived, and one of the greatest rugby players that ever lived. You go to these games, not only these games, ask them about him. But where, if you click on Google or wherever, you don't see Eric Majola there, Chairperson. Yes, you see Oxley, all these others, but you don't see the people that also contributed, Chairperson. Whether we like it or not, whether he's from us or from some other school or from other thought, it doesn't matter. He was part of history, Chairperson. And therefore, I want an inclusive history to do, and then that the budget should really cater for an inclusive history. The history that is told, and the sooner it's done, the better. Charles Govender passed away about 3 months ago. And if only we could have a one-to-one with Charles Govender. If only we could have a one-to-one with Papa Sugalam's son, Chairperson. All these things are important, Chairperson. Those are the two stories, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay. Let me invite
the minister. We will come back to Mackenzie, Labuta, Benson. We'll come back to also.
You can participate
also as an alternate member. Thank you, Chair. I think welcome the inputs, which largely are comments by honourable members. Starting with Honourable Sindani, the challenges and the strengths in the realization of this outcome. I think the bigger challenge when it comes to sport is the, I don't want to state what is obvious, the question of resources. That is the bigger challenge to realize our goals and to turn around our situation to the point where we want it to be. And I think that is the challenge that faces us as a nation. I'm saying that, of course, in comparison to the best in the world and the African continent. If you look at the preparations that countries are embarking upon now towards Brazil and the investment by government, not the private sector, in the preparation of the athletes, you will realize that we are far behind. I will hasten to say
not judging ourselves with standards of the developed world, but also in the African continent, governments take charge of what must happen in sport. The problem with sport is that for a very long time, sport has been taken as a by-the-way issue. And the fact of the matter is that we as sports people, over time, when it suits us, sports is good. When it is a normal holiday, no, this thing is useless, you know. And we even often quite, I've listened to sports people even affirm some of the wrong assertions that are made about sports. What makes people in prison to take to the streets when you talk about recession and cuts in sports, and then when they cut the school sport, parents take to the streets because they ask what you want to do with this children, because they've got an evolving program of action in terms of what must actually happen in terms of their development. The strength is the fact that we've got a nation which is an objective reality that loves sports and that is very much active and that follow what we basically do and so on. And to a certain extent, I think that there is leadership and there is voice of reason. And the strength is the fact that today as we speak, we've got a plan. No longer speaking, even if Gert Oosthuizen and Mbalula or any of the members can be removed, the plan must be implemented fully. There's something that we are following. And in the past, we were just talking about sport in general, enthusiastically, without a strategic plan that we are basically following. And I think that is our strength in the realization of these outcomes. And for the first time in the cabinet, cabinet could seek and adopt a plan of sport and basically focus on this particular matter and realize that there is a need that that particular plan must be fully costed and that plan must be supported and for its implementation. To an extent that it is not implemented today in relation to the budget is because of the constraints and the imbalances that we have in the competing needs in terms of the country. But I just want to emphasize that those are the challenges. I mean, the challenge of resources will always be there. But we can't wait for tomorrow. We've got to utilize what we have in order for us to implement our own program of action. Honorable Member Kora, facilities indeed are a problem. But we need to begin to also inculcate a mindset within society of ownership of facilities, because it speaks about facilities, but there are facilities which are not looked after by the communities themselves. Some of them have been there and the people don't look after those facilities, and that is a fundamental problem. We did not go into detail, maybe the DG will take you into confidence. We've done a lot of work on this MIG from our side and with the treasurer. And there's light at the end of the tunnel. We realized that this thing of allocating money to a municipality and to hope that that municipality will implement the 15% is a fallacy. So why is money not given to sports? And sport is held accountable for sport and recreation facilities. And but to that extent, that's what we've been advocating, and we seem to be finding each other with our colleagues, and the DG can speak in detail about that particular matter, because that is a major constraint and so on. Local government has got a responsibility to look after the facilities, but they don't. So you get facilities being vandalized, not looked after. Look at the oval parks that were built in the Cricket World Cup in Soweto. I can take you there right now, not in the rural areas. That is a dumping ground. They are named after very notable individuals in cricket and all of that. No cricket is played there. Nothing. You come in the townships, swimming pools been built, underutilized. It's a bash area. Now, the question is, do we have facilities? Do we have organizations? Do we have the local government to look after those facilities? And that is the most important thing that we must do. The other thing we've got, also multi-purpose, wonderful facilities in some areas. If you go to the Vaal, they built at the time when the sports and recreation had the capacity to implement some of these things. But they are underutilized. and that is the challenge, that at the end of the day, those facilities are used for concerts. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a multi-purpose center, but essentially it's a sports facility. It's when we say to people, there's nothing wrong with using a F&B or Cape Town Stadium or any stadium for a concert, but essentially it's a sports facility. So if you finish with your concert, leave it intact so that we can come and play football. But so that when we come back, we shouldn't say, there was Justin Bieber, then after him there was no stadium. So that is the problem. That's it. Of course, I'm just raising that by the way, because we also met with the facilities people, they've got challenges. These facilities are at a cost. And to manage them and all of that has been a bigger challenge. I'm just making in a particular point, which is not a point that has been raised. We are doing something about that particular issue. The fundamental issues that have been raised with regard to Love Life, I'll ask the DG to speak in detail about the particular issue. We've done a lot of work around that, because at the end of the day, Love Life were just a conduit of money. We actually found this situation that we didn't create it. Those who created it left it as it is and did nothing. And all what was expected was that DG, end of the month, 40 million. Transferred to Love Life. I think DG will speak to that particular point. We've done work around a particular issue, and I think we find each other with Love Life. And netball, to create Premier Leagues is not our priority as a department and as a ministry. We intervened in netball because we felt that netball is a ladies, women, number one sport. And we think that these girls, if we intervene, if you talk about poverty cycle, when intervened by empowering a woman from a context of building a family, it goes a long way in the intervention of poverty cycle in the country. And also because women are majority, but young girls who love the sport, which they can only enjoy that sport professionally at the university level and then the national team. So we came with the concept of a Diamond League last year. We gave them money, close to 8 million, and then we raised part of the money from Toronto to support that Diamond League, which was good, excited. But we thought, what is sustainable is the Premier League for them. And then the Premier League, we were targeting close to 2 million full-time professionals on the league. Netball should have been launched by now, and the DG, I suppose, can speak to that. Part of the problem was that we did not agree on the model, because we can't give them money. We can't sustain that Premier League with government money. We need to get money elsewhere. And we need to get money from the private sector. And then private sector means that there are mechanisms, and that must actually be followed to make it productive and to make it people invest in buying franchises. We differed on the model of the franchise, or otherwise the model that Netball South Africa was coming up with. We worked with BMI, with them. Well, we're helping them, and by August, somewhere, we should be in a position to get it done. We don't want to launch something that is not sustainable. We've got a commitment from the point of the broadcasting to support them already. SuperSport, I can reveal, that already we're partnering them in terms of being official broadcaster of Netball. So, and then we'll have franchises in the 9 provinces that are going to compete. And all. That does not kill the national team. It means that players will play, but at the same time, it gives us an opportunity to look at the bigger pool of girls who have ordinarily not been recognized to follow the sport. Well marketed, it is self-sufficient over a period of time. Basketball really is not our priority. In the fact that basketball, we work with NBA together with the SAC on reviving basketball. Already NBA had a program of Basketball Without Borders in the African continent. And then part of the work is to revive basketball. That work includes a full-time professional league in the universities, and then secondly, a full-blown basketball league in South Africa. And then the new administration, because you know that the board of BSA was dissolved because of maladministration, all of that. And then they then picked up on the running with the idea of the basketball league. Quite quicker than even netball. Already 5 franchises of basketball have been bought by August, September, in terms of this, we're kicking off with the big bang of the Premier League of basketball in the country. So, along the lines of a franchise also is going to be run. AFCON report is coming. AFCON report is coming. We are just awaiting the board to finalize that and to give us the report. And should there be any other thing, we'll be able to finalize that. DG also can speak to it. So we're on top of that situation. BSA, we've got a comprehensive turnaround strategy for boxing, because boxing is big, and it's part of our commitment that we're going to make boxing right in South Africa. By now, I can tell you that we should have signed a broadcasting agreement with SABC and the SuperSport. We could not because of Branko. I can say it here because Branko has threatened to take us to court. But as government, we have agreed to support BSA to take him on in court. But he has not. He's been threatened. So we said, go ahead and sign. So that these boxers you're talking about, I can tell you, this is endless. Many boxers, one titles could not defend. Zonke Fana is an example. Noni Tenge is an example. We had to spend money as government to assist Noni Tenge, the woman, to defend the title, but in a different level, precisely because of the promoters. And one of the revelations of all these promoters that you can get, sheer exploitation. Sheer exploitation. And some of them in cahoots with other people, particularly in broadcasting, and all of that. So we've got to get that right. But the boxing thing is going to resolve a whole lot of things. The question of fees and the buy-in from the promoters and all around everybody, including the boxers, to have a stake in terms of what needs to be done in the revival of boxing, but also to address some of the impediments that are dealing with the question of us ensuring that boxing is effectively revived. And to deal with the state of amateur boxing in the country. Do we want to professionalize everybody? To that extent, Deputy Minister is heading our preparations for the ILAGA of boxing, which is taking place in July. So it has to happen in all provinces. But by the time we get there, I think we should have signed an agreement with SABC or whoever on this. The PT alcohol has been banned, but alcohol was coming to the party again to support as a sponsor. To support them, because you know there was all bad pricing and then it just fizzled out and so on. Our intention, and we're working around the clock to ensure that boxing is up and running on television, professional boxing and equally amateur boxing. And that is why in the Operation Victory Lap with the South African National Defense Force, we've got a sizable intake of amateur boxers that is going to be revealed in the next coming Olympics. That we're training them and all that, which is a program and a partnership between us and them. But according to the DG and his people, and the SAND have, they've agreed that we must not announce this thing. It's a secret. You can speak better about it at that particular point. I'm quite optimistic. We met with Box in South Africa. We gave a comprehensive presentation about what we need to do. We met with the Auditor General about the challenges of BSA. So part of the problem that we had, among others at the managerial level, was the question of the CFO and all of those people not being employed there, the offices that they occupy, and so on. So we are addressing all those administrative hiccups that we are faced with. I agree with you, our history must be all inclusive. And definitely that is what we seek to do. And the exhibition that we ran, even though I suppose it was good, but not in a massive scale, it is a project that is worth sustaining and all of that. What we seek to do, I mean, the people that you talk about, who some of us we don't even know in the history of boxing, we research about them in terms of ensuring that we honor them posthumously. And then we speak about them. The list is endless, and there are many. And that is what we seek to do with this particular work, of ensuring that we celebrate our history. And when we talk about awards and all of that, we are able to celebrate excellence, but also remember the old people who took part. For instance, in the sports awards this year, we had the Shield of Jove. If you look at the history of the Shield of Jehovah, and everybody was shocked about it, it became the highlight, and which is worth than a million rand this year, which was awarded to the best athlete then and even in the early days of the democratic era, which people didn't know actually about it. That's part of our history, it's part of our heritage, it must be put into a proper context. And there's a whole lot of people that even myself, I didn't know about them, who played golf in the old days, and they were the question is no longer to say apartheid, it's to say this is what apartheid did, but this is what equality these people achieved in their own name and right, and they need to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. So I agree fully with what you are saying about an inclusivity of history celebration. No, the invitation is gone. To every member. Those who can play.
Thank you, Honourable Minister. DG.
The Deputy Minister will come in, everyone.
I will only speak on the issue of love life.
Mike.
Thank you. Chair, I will speak on the issue of love lives. Chair, the love lives thing has been a bit of a fun event for us. We approached Treasury to request that we have a final say in the allocation of money, but originally the response was in outright rejection to say that the funds for love life are earmarked for love life and can be used for any other purpose except love life. So in the 2011-2012 financial year, we had a bit of chief chef with Love Life and Treasury, and as a transferring officer, I was refusing to transfer. And I was saying that the money must then be surrendered back to Treasury, who, if they so wish, they themselves can transfer directly to Love Life without involving us. And the chief chef went on because legally speaking, Treasury would not be able to transfer directly to Love Life. They need us as a queen writ to give money to Love Life. And there are two other departments, social development and health, who are also transferring to Love Life. So what we transfer to Love Life is just a small portion. Actually, the two other departments transfer much more than what we do. So while we acknowledge that sport is a catalyst for change, change in behavior around issues of sexuality and HIV, we took responsibility as a sector that we too and our participation within the SANEC, we will have to make sure that the efforts of our coordination as a sector are dealt through there. We didn't ourselves have budget allocated for that specific purpose. So we had sought to have a win-win between ourselves, Treasury, and Love Life, and we fought a trilateral meeting at which we insisted that the portion of the money that Love Life has, from now they will have an obligation of convening the Secretariat of Sport on the SANEC and paying for the Sport Secretariat and its convening of its meetings, and our chair in the person of Victor Ramatafel, who represent the sports sector on SANEC, to then be facilitated from there and Love Life take that responsibility, to which they agreed. So the first chunk of the 33 million we transfer, which is about five, carries the SANEC Secretariat for Sports. The next was our insistence that Love Life needed to align the amount we transfer to them on the sports plan, and we then had a joint two-day workshop with them and ultimately agreed on seven different programs to which they allocate money aligned to the sports plan. For starters, programs such as the youth camps, for those who have gone to the camps, nine of them in provinces would have seen that life was all over those camps, and they are groundbreakers and engineers and so on are in there. This year is the first intake where they recruit graduates of sports science who are trained as groundbreakers, and they are dedicated to working with children in schools and in sports specifically. So these are an extension of our community support and peer support who help in establishment of clubs in communities and so on. which is a capacity we have always ourselves wanted but never had the money to finance. Well, they are recruited by Lovelace, trained by Lovelace, but they are deployed for purposes of sport and coordination thereof. At the national championships, we used a whole host of volunteers, youth recruited by Lovelace, as technical officials, as various people who do athletics after they have run, people who do hospitality and all of those type of things. So we have attempted across 7 programs to align the mandate of Lovelace in as far as it is possible with the available 33 million to subsidize what we should have naturally paid for, that they align. The difference between now and then was that then the money just went to Lovelace. And what they did with it, we never knew. And then they would submit a report at the end of the year and said, we have done this and that, we have done this and that, and that was the end. And we simply had to take that report and send to Treasury. So as is now, we have a greater say in what their business plan looks like, which they submit to us as a basis for funding. And until they give us the business plan, we do not transfer. I think that is how we have tried to manage an otherwise ugly scenario, because equally, it would have also lost resources of this nature had Treasury decided that it will simply substitute us with social development and channel the money via social development. So it was sort of a win-win under a very difficult circumstance of literacy, but we have now learned to coexist with them in respect of what we were talking about.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the Minister for his presentation on the annual performance plan. I'm not going to cover the ground that's already been covered by my colleagues, but I would like to just make a few comments. Minister, in school sport, I see you prioritised 17 federations. And looking at the list of those federations, it's I think a very good idea that you've put in federations that don't need outrageous facilities, if I could put it like it. So there's a cost implication attached to a pragmatic solution, and I think that's very healthy. However, what is frustrating, I think, to all of us here is that, and DG expressed a lot of frustration when he made his presentation some 6 weeks ago, is the fact that we have a Department of Education which should be at the thrust of the school sports plan with ourselves to drive this new sports plan. And the frustrating thing is that, to my understanding, there's not one rand allocated in the basic education budget which goes to school sport or the promotion thereof. And I think you almost floored before you start, and it's one step forward, great idea, because that's the cornerstone of what we're talking about, but we're just going back. So I understand possibly your frustrations, but I think we need to tackle this one head on, otherwise we're not going to make the progress that we want to do. Regarding the budget, and I'm sympathetic that your colleagues in Cabinet have got very pressing social and other issues in our country. However, in my first speech, which by the way, the Deputy Minister, the first budget speech gave me a bit of a hard time in 2009, I think you might remember that. But it was interesting. we'll leave that for the next debate. when speaking to Minister Stofile after that, we had a massive budget, and obviously that was inflated by the World Cup construction and so on. And just what you said, I said to him, is it possible to get Cabinet to accept that we should, although the stadium's going to be over and all the expenditure's done, that we keep a small portion of it. So it's almost sort of banked, not a portion of that budget, but banked forward. So it's $1.5 billion. Instead of dropping from $4 billion to less than $1 billion, let's go to $1.5 billion possibly, because it's easier to sort of maintain that. But clearly it didn't happen. Now it's aggravated again by alcohol,
as we see it, 1.5, if that goes through, the Minister of Health, and I'm sensitive to the alcoholic thing, our figures tell us that there could be as much as 1 billion rand out of sports advertising. Potentially that's a huge cost factor, and I don't know how we overcome that. It's going to put massive strain on there. So isn't it time, Minister, that maybe to help you and help us and help sport in this country, that we go to Lotto and really change that model? Because there is a real chance where South Africans contribute towards Lotto. South Africans contribute, everybody. And freely so. And let's really get our, I think, the perceived share back. That's what I'd like to see. The other thing is there no way, and I don't like taxes any more than you do, but isn't there a way that maybe we can put a levy on every sports ticket that's sold to help sport? For example, if you get a rugby match, a football match, you watch SuperSport or SABC on your TV license, maybe you've got to spend another 2 or 3 rand, which goes towards, it's a fund, if you will, for sport in this country and distribute it. I'm just trying to come up with some ideas because there's a cash shortage, and I think we've got to try and get creative in some of the way forward here. I know that some of the sports federations might not like me for talking about putting a levy there, but I really believe if we're going to develop sport, this is a great way. And if you, when you buy a product in the supermarket, and the back of the product says it contains this, and this nutrient, whatever it is, you can do the same. So it goes for sports development. And if for every rand in this ticket or 2 rand goes to sports, just a thought on that basis. The other very interesting thing that you spoke about is that you're doing an analysis of the World Cup stadiums, the state thereof, and I think that is highlighted by the field condition, I think that it is at Mombela, if I'm not mistaken, which was pretty atrocious. And I think it's fantastic you've done it, because I think the time has come for us to come up with a concerted plan to utilize those stadiums. And clearly sport has to be at the heart of it. But commercialization of that facility probably can drive it to A, maintain it, and B, grow sport in the area. So I think that's a great thing. The only other thing I want to say, two things that I'll finish quickly. There seems to be a tension with SASCOC and some federations. And I don't see it mentioned here, but there seems to be a tension, and particularly with athletics, amateur boxing, and SAFA. There seems to be some underlying tensions there, and I don't think that's pretty healthy for our sport going forward. And finally, I think you've hit the nail on the head. This MIG grant, I think at long last we've made some serious progress. My only concern, Minister, and I think it's shared by everyone else and you as well, is that if this department controls those facilities, how are they going to be maintained? Should it not be a JV, maybe, with federations to manage and control those facilities, whether it's a cricket facility, a swimming facility, whatever, in the townships and towns, and not just left to the local municipality? Thank you.
Rabuta. Thanks, Chair, even though most of the points have been taken. My only concern is, you know, development in the rural areas. I've also realized that, you know, in a lot of townships, facilities have been there in the past. And the history in the townships is facilities are not well looked after. Because, you know, besides from having to deploy securities there, even people who use these facilities themselves, they should actually, you know, develop, you know, ownership of these facilities and guard them, you know, jealously, because they actually help. So actually, what I wanted to request is, I think there's a lot of land in the rural areas where a lot of facilities can be built, and most of the talent actually come from rural areas. And by establishing facilities in rural areas, we also help, you know, to stop migration from rural to urban, whereby people staying in rural areas can also start developing themselves where they stay. Thank you.
Honourable Grace.
Thank you very much. Let me also welcome the presentation by the Minister. Some of my questions have been asked, Chair, but I just want to get a clarity from the DG, because last month when he was presenting to the PC that he's going to meet the Netball South Africa to resolve some of the problems regarding the Premier League. So I just wanted to get a progress thus far. on the meeting. And in terms of the, let me also acknowledge the point raised by the minister with regard to the outreach to rural communities, where there will be ministerial outreach to distribute kits to our people. Chair. You know, that weekend I was invited to the tournament in Marapena, where in the under 15 was playing a tournament. There were 8 teams, Chair. And it was a very good tournament, and I was happy that SAFA also launched the under 13 and under 15 tournament. But what was painful to me, Che, is that most of our kids comes from a background, from a needy background. They don't have even some shoes to play, they don't have attire, you know. You can see for minister, you can see a young boy wearing a big t-shirt but playing passionately in the ground. So I'd like to appreciate this ministerial outreach, and I'm sure that I will be part of the outreach. I've got 8 teams in my constituency, under 15 boys, and I really support them. And I'm also taking an opportunity to present the program to them, because they've launched that new program of under 15. In terms of your of the strategic plan or the annual APP, I saw somewhere in your thinking about your office accommodation, the Department of Public Works has not yet renewed the lease agreement, and this delay is causing a massive increase in your department budget. Just want to check what are the reasons for the delays, and how soon do you think that they will renew the lease agreement? And the minister, I just wanted your view on the one view on the SAFA debacle. I know that you have called them before Parliament, before the portfolio committee. They gave some reasons, and they've presented with a financial budget that SAFA is not in crisis. And I heard you saying on the media that we are going to appoint a judicial commission in order to investigate some of the issues regarding SAFA. I just wanted your view on the matters of SAFA and any progress regarding the appointment of the judicial commission. Thank you very much.
No. I think, person, I have already had my turn. Except to say we would maybe in future request the minister to tell us about his plan on the FIFA legacy, the 450 million that is in the trust, especially when the minister cited the challenges. I think it was a probing question, Chairperson, to say if we have no resources to maximize our program, so why do we have that 450 million that's put aside? But if maybe the minister has the answer or now, but if he doesn't, maybe in future, to look into that 450 million, because to me, I don't think that it is only for soccer. We can actually develop maybe our infrastructure. We can actually sort of assist programs, sports programs. So I'm just putting it. But if the minister has the response, he can give it to us so that we actually, Ubabunu Kunyane was there to say, impela imali kokuna 450 million. But I know my interest or what have you. But that's just that
450 million. You're not answering there.
No. The vice president is not here. I'm sorry. And the honourable members, Comrade Minister, Deputy and the entire team, I think I must say thank you very much for the wonderful presentation, colleagues. I think we in the sport movement, we have made us proud by the presentation, especially the plan. And all then that lies for us as a member of parliament is to oversee the implementation of that plan. What 3 points, I think the other other one may be a comment, but the other one will be questions. The first one is around budget. I had a closer look on the budget review of this department, as many as with other departments that have got keen interest, and check how the money is that we budgeted for the approved, how they were then spent. I have noticed, Chair, that there's remarkable improvement in the department's performance. I think if you see that documentation, it was really pleasing to read. And I think if my memory serves me well, if I knew that would give me this, I would have brought that to you. And I noticed that over 9% of the money that the department wanted the parliament to approve in the previous year was utilized. I think there are very few challenges that the panel is having, but I think it has done very, very well. And I would therefore just to you, Minister, to TG perhaps, to find out whether indeed there is no money. I think there is money that we just think. First, what are the challenges that cause this money to be taken back to Treasury? That will be able, therefore, to empower, I think, this member of the committee to stand up boldly to say, well, we've got the department that seeks for the money, and it will earn the money for the purpose in previous year. And we know that, of course, we cannot be 100%, but at least more than 9%, I don't know, it's cum laude, something like that, but it's really something. I would love, therefore, if the DG could actually share with us and comfort the members of the committee that on that day all the members of the different parties 100% behind the approval of the budget when the budget is being presented for approval of Parliament next week. The second one, Chair, I think Comrade Okora and many other honourable members touched on is around facilities. In urban, very urban and rural, I think what I can see, Chair, here is a tug of war between the spheres of government, between departments, and sometimes called big business. I say so, for instance, because before the minister and delegation came, I did indicate to the committee informally that, you know, in Umtata, for instance, we had the stadium called Independence Stadium then, band where Bushbuck, you know, was playing and really. You know, but because of the attitude of the municipality, that place was converted into shops. Into smaller shops, but I think there are better shops than that. But the shops, and it was no given an international stadium, of course. Everything was torn apart to cricket, to everybody else, to nature. The point I'm trying to make is that there's that tug of war. But if you go through even my own district, you find that where we used to play, it is now a white elephant that has been converted into a taxi rack that is not being used by anybody. No conversation with sports, everything. There's something to do, therefore, with the attitude of municipalities, therefore, in charge of sports. And if you could also see this, because there's also another plan, I think, that is good, which is, I think the minister is articulating very well, the school sport. Again, you find that in the school, there's somebody there in charge of the school, and therefore, gatekeeper in a way. And therefore, this issue, I must say, I'm very grateful that I think it is articulated very well by the minister today. That is one of the priorities of the government, particularly of this financial year, which will need, of course, the support of the sports federations. And again, here, Chair, there is an issue of SASCOC structure, the sports councils, the village councils, and then the local councils, district councils. I think there's a need for those structures to be viable. I think the old National Sports Council days, we had some activists that were actually monitoring this. I can only hope that the department is going to be assisted in this regard. The point, therefore, I'm back highlighting the second point, Chair, is the need for an integrated approach. For this plan to really be successful. The last one, Chair, is again with these plans, but who will be drivers of these plans? In municipalities, for instance, we have the CDWs, Community Development Workers, to assist, of course, the ward councillors and everybody else in delivery of the basic services. I'm making that as an example. I would love, who are the drivers of this integrated approach in sports at that level? There is the school and then out of school sports. And there was something I heard that there may be in each and every school ideally somebody who would be in charge of the physical education and everything else. And so that that person can be able to drive. Perhaps the budget may not be possible to qualify that this financial aid, but at least to zone, perhaps in each zone or each local authority, at least some person in each financial and graduate in the long run, I would really appreciate to hear that. Naturally, the point that is made by my colleagues, to have that link with the federations and sports council, because development is the key. We are in the development state, and we need developers. We need really activists. In this regard, we need sports activists. Last point is that when the minister was addressing us, it reminded me when we passed the Intergovernmental Relations Act. and that act, we then put it in the Department of Local Government. And that, I must say, when I was speaking to all municipalities, we found that nobody was really in charge of sport there. Really, sport is nothing. If there is any money for sport, they can use to something else. And which means, therefore, then that this integrated really approach, I think, in terms of sports, I think it must really be driven by political champions, that is, in other words, the Minister of Sport itself, so that sport is not being driven by other departments. Of course, work hand in hand with other departments in this regard. Chair, thank you very much.
Colleague, I'd like to make follow-up and then invite the Minister to come in and make some point.
No, I don't want to take a photo, I want to pimpa now.
You want?
To whom pimpa.
Yeah.
Did it? One is really finding it difficult to get information from the department. And I've been trying to phone you. I sent you an SMS as well last month. And there's no response. I've been sitting on old Tamjam. I spoke to Sumaya. You know, when you go to budget boat, at times you need information from the department. You need to prepare your speeches. And I had to speak to Gero at last. And also, she has brought me something this morning.
We will raise the point that we are raising as to the DG even after the meeting. And let us deal with the questions and comment, and then I think you can raise with the DG. And I don't think you want to raise it in the platform like the meeting, really.
your suggestion is quite brilliant. Football, soccer matches is something that we can look at in the long term, whether or not it's feasible and so on. Probably also in the context of what we are facing in terms of the alcohol advertisement ban. If you ask me personally, I think when I was president of the Youth League, I woke up one day and I said that we must ban alcohol on Sunday. And then the debate ensued. And I couldn't even drink on Sunday in public place because they said, you said we must ban alcohol, but we are with you here, you are getting drunk on Sunday. So, but the real debate about that raised was that I was saying, it was not even policy of the Youth League or anything. I was just raising an issue. Then I said that, no, we must regulate because there's an oversupply and access. There's no control, you know. And more than Sunday, but how do we minimize the question of control of this alcohol distribution and all of that within communities? If you can go now in the rural areas, people are poor, but the most thing that they can access is alcohol. And it's not whether that in that local area there is an advertisement. They drink lion lager if it's still there, like nobody's business, mix it with spirits, they don't care. So they live in the port. But what you can access in the rural area without trade, you will not find a football field, you will not find a soccer field, but you'll find a beer hall across the left and breadth. And then soup vein and everything, whatever that you can get there, you will get. So to say that the advertisement is the biggest contributor to alcohol abuse and accessibility is debatable. And these things need to be balanced in a certain way. Now, the issue of the facilities, of course, facilities in terms of, for that to be maintained, you need a joint venture. Local government is key in terms of the maintenance of those particular facilities. And you build a facility today. You know, I was in outside Pretoria Press during the last local government election. And I went there. And then there was a big tennis court in that area. And then also a soccer field. But the soccer field, you know, the grass was this long. And how I came to discover the dilapidated facility is because we had to convene a local meeting to campaign. And then when I got there, I said, but this is a wonderful facility. How come you leave it like this? There's a roof and facilities which are not maintained. And then the grass was this big. There's a huge tennis court which was not looked after. Whose responsibility is that? Then you say that there are no facilities. At least let's maintain what we have before we think about next, you know. And I think there's a whole lot of things. And this plan of doing a study and all of that and, you know, research, whatever, on these particular facilities is very much important because it will inform us what needs to be created and what still needs to be built. And that's what is important. The issue of SAFA, I think Mr. Rabutabi, Honorable Rabutabi, is linked to the issue of facilities that you raised. I totally agree with you with regard to facilities and so on. And I think the people in the rural areas will preserve facilities better than people in the urban areas because more than any other anything. And one of the things that I proposed to the department, which is an advanced program on the rural development, every year without fail, winter, especially was during school holidays in December. I mean, why is that in the old former Transcar in the Eastern Cape, Eastern Pondoland, to go there, distribute jerseys, or either, not even to distribute, to come and attend sporting activities in those particular areas. The enthusiasm around there, and football, rugby, you know, and all of that. And then I said to them in the department, can we have a rural development roll-out program with the sheets in the villages so that we can be able to give the sheets, like you say, sports equipment? Because I've seen them, that is sort of recreational social activity. That basically bring them together. And then in a rural area, you get the young people packed in a stadium to capacity. I mean, that's where they actually converge and so on.
So those activities need to be, and then one they play for, not for money, for the sheep, you know, so for a horse or whatever. So that's what they do. So if we say play for a kid, that is beneficial for them for the future. So these are simple programs that we should deliver. It doesn't need the net budget. So if we've got a program in all rural areas, we identify them and then we distribute this equipment. I know those people will value this particular work and so on in distribution. So I agree with you. And Honorable Grace, Didi will deal with netball as he promised. Office accommodation, he will deal with that. I didn't sign. And then, yes, on the issue which I want to combine with Honorable Mackenzie about ASA, SAFA, and amateur boxing, and your point about SAFA. Let's start with SAFA. I think the question that you were raising was that what is the tension? SASCO seems to be having a tension with federation. We're having a meeting, we're supposed to have a meeting with SASCO. And one of the issues we want to table before SASCO is the model of governance.
Yeah.
That must be agreed upon. I don't think that conflict will stop for as much as there are resources at the center. And that is what prompted power struggle. But the question is, do we have rules and regulations to manage? Of course, in terms of the statutes of SASCO, you are put under administration if you are bankrupt or if there is maladministration and so on. And that's what basically happens. But over and above that, how do we empower these federations to ensure that they do a proper job? It will seem like there is tension, but that tension is healthy because it arises, for instance, in ASA about the contradiction that arises about how you run that particular federation. From 20 west, you know, and bankrupt to zero. One time I was moving around something, they took me literally to their office, and I went there driving myself. I met them, they said they are bankrupt. So I said, how do I resolve this thing? Yeah, now and then. And then I said, I need a report, and if we're going to assist you, I need to be sure as to how. And I have to speak to the team, we have to discuss. We're willing to assist, but we can't assist people who are not going to get out of their own situation. In fact, we are going to exacerbate them. It's like your child. If your child is naughty and you think that the resolution is to give her or him more money, you are sending him or her to drugs. You're not resolving the problem. So if SASA is basically in red, the solution is not to give them more money because they'll never get up, because they know that our father is there. Whenever we've got a problem, he'll give us money. So the question is that there have got to be systems of how you deal with them before you basically roll out the next patch to address their situation. And I think SASCO is dealing with that situation quite efficiently. Leave alone the problems that are there, or individuals saying that, no, sporting people are quite unreliable. They say this to you. They meet somebody else, an MP, they say different. And then they meet somebody who's in the executive. It's totally different. It's up until you go to that situation, you understand it better, what happens. With regard to SAFA, I don't think there is a problem with SAFA. SAFA got a simple issue. There are allegations of match fixing, and equally there are issues that have been raised about maladministration and bankruptcy. Whether those are accompanied by their own politics is an issue also on its own that must be examined objectively. And it cannot be examined by the interested parties. There's got to be mechanism to examine that is external, that will look into the situation and give us all a proper report. And it can't be a bone of contention that we discuss, we agree or not agree about. How do you investigate a match fixing that involves money exchanging hands and allegations and people, some of them not living in this country, because you've got to look at a treaty that governs diplomatic relations between countries to extradite those people to get information. Some of them have been arrested. Everyone is in Hungary in jail.
you know, and that's what had obtained. So really the issue that we're debating was not debating. We got a request from SASCOC to government that we need a judicial commission of inquiry into the affairs of SAFA in relation to the overarching issue of match fixing. And then SAFA was disputing the question of judicial and said that they wanted an independent inquiry. And the question that we posed to them was that, how do you investigate the issues of the ferocity with a commission that has got no power? It's based on taxpayers' money. And when I parted ways with SAFA leadership in January, when I met with them, off the record, I discussed with them as a leadership, I said, in that meeting, surprisingly, there was agreement about an inquiry. The deputy minister was the chair of the meeting. They even agreed that no, and the judge retired must investigate. They didn't have terms of reference. And then he pointed to Judge Pius Langer. And I said to them, for you to appoint a judicial commission of inquiry, that's not your call. It's the call of the president of the council. Those were my parting words. None of them in the meeting said that we don't want judicial. They said, yes, minister, we'll be happy if you can help us to establish such a commission. For now, we defer issues to the Constitutional Committee of SAFA. I then said, let's meet. We've got an appointment after AFCON to process issues. But I want you, SAFA, not us, to process these issues. But we agree on the question of the inquiry. After AFCON, the issue became the inquiry, but not with certain status. Extract from the inquiry judicial. A matter that took me to FIFA. To FIFA is because I got a call from Jerome Valka, who called me as a minister and said that it's like you are interfering with issues of football in South Africa. And you know that FIFA, when it comes to government interference, is very strict. You will be banned. You won't do this and that. I said, yeah, wait. Before you say all those things, I think let's meet, me and you. We were approaching Easter. He said, no, okay. I said, I can come to Zurich overnight. We meet at FIFA headquarters. I explain to you what's happening here. And then I come back the following day. No problem. Because I must explain to you this so-called government interference. There's no interference. It's not a matter we can resolve over telephone. After Easter, we then had an appointment. He said, no, I prefer you come with Kirsten. I said, well, good. No problem. We went simply Zurich's next same hotel next to FIFA. In the morning, we went into the meeting. We met with Jerome. My position was to clarify to Jerome government position, not to ask him whether or not to establish a commission. Now, when we got into the meeting, we agreed on the question of the judicial inquiry. SAFA was there. It explained itself on the issue of whether they are bankrupt or not bankrupt. They disputed that. And they said they are not bankrupt. But their own statement, which do not come from me and you or from them, from KPMG, say there is a great concern of 92 million. They talk about assets, depreciation. Even if you extract the assets, they are still in the red. So I don't know what simple English you understand about bankrupt. So it's not my call, it's their problem. Right? I didn't say SAFA must be investigated. I didn't make that call. I never. SASCOC made the call to us as government, and he as a minister approached president. I've got no right to establish a judicial commission. Nicholson, I would have long finished with these people of SAFA by now, because I've got power in terms of the act to establish a commission. I would not finish with them by now. I mean, we'd be closing this matter by now if we were done. But they said they want a judicial commission, and a judicial commission requires the president to examine the statutes and all of that, and then to come back and say, we can go ahead. That's as simple as that. So this going about the ramarals, as if no, somebody's holding the other one as a charter, it's not true. They started this thing themselves, and they must finish it themselves. We will observe it to the latter that they finish it. What we will not do is to allow them to drag us into something they started.
They've started it, they must finish it. And we'll never allow a scenario where in which what they have started that have brought the country to disrepute and under question must be fashed and be put under carpet. We are not party of that party. If it is a party, we are happy not to be present in that party. And that is what I explained to them. To suffer, and that is it. They have their own conditions that they put FIFA for their own. They want their own people to be a community. I've never heard of anybody in the world that the court would investigate itself. I never heard anybody that, no, you must investigate me on the following terms. You must appoint McKenzie to investigate me, and then you must, then thereafter, bring me and you must agree how we're going to package that point. I don't know of anything of that sort. And some of the fears that SAFA has on these issues, for the first time I had them outside the country in Zurich. I never had them in this country. When we met with Jerome Balkenas, when I prefer to keep them because I'm going to get deeper and deeper to their thing. I prefer we must keep quiet. Because there is a commission that is coming and people must raise their issues in the commission. And finish and last. Simple as that. There is no vendetta against anybody. And that is the point. We have helped SAFA for a very long time, to a point where we have been accused ourselves of putting a blind eye on SAFA activities. And that is the point. I came to this parliament, I went to the executive and asked the executive to host AFCON. And this executive agreed to host AFCON literally over 24 hours. Budget adjustment, AFCON was held very successful. FIFA, very successful. All these things, we are not doing them to pep up egos of individuals in SAFA. It is about our people and the sport of football, which is number one in this country. And that is the point. And I don't think that we've got any vendetta against anybody in SAFA and all of that. And honorable members must be rest assured about that. We didn't embark on the journey. They asked us to basically embark on this journey. That's what we're processing. As simple as that. I've heard last point that they say we owe them. And if we can pay them, they will be out of the race. Now, this is admitted. What I raised with SASCOC, that is my last point. I said to SASCOC, you can't say to smaller federations, when they are doing maladministration, you put them under administration. Mm. When it is SARU, it is SAFA, it is cricket, you put a blind eye. We'll never run sport in the country. To be frank and honest, then tomorrow let us wake up and say, there was match fixing, what happened, Minister? Ah, no, we just left it as it is resolved. How? It's resolved. Because there is nobody going to subject themselves to that sort of thing. I'm from Canada now. When I arrived there, they asked me, those people, what's happening with South Africa? Match fixing. Huh? When are you announcing? I said, next week. Yeah, well, finalizing. And I'm asked by FIFA people, who serve in this water body, big body and all of that, and other people, when are you finishing this particular thing and so on. So, and then, they say they don't want to be investigated, but listen to Robert Marau. They investigate themselves and they tell the stories of how they fix matches and who fixed who paid who. They say every day there. But they say they must not be investigated. Listen to them. They say, these people there, that, no, you know, God, it's him who called the referee. It's not him. I said, I want to then be in the commission. Come and explain that. How you fix matches. Because we thought we were watching good matches, getting in their fix on the other side. But that's what they say. But without us, they say those things every day. How Kirsten got involved, who got involved, who didn't get. I said, listen to these people. They say, no, they don't want judicial commission because they don't want to. Because judicial commission is not going to be like that. You see? Judicial commission, it doesn't work like that. You say what you say, Meneer, with your lawyer, or otherwise you are cross-examined, right? You see, with cricket, we didn't have cross-examination. Kayla and them, they presented themselves, it was not judicial compliance, and then Nichols finished. Nicholson has done a half job, but if it was judicial, everybody will be in his place by now. You think that you are guilty? We found you guilty. That's what's going to happen.
Now, the point about the legacy, the DG can speak about that because you see in that trust, money has been distributed also there. Chief Moelo, the drivers of the spotlight, these documents, which we produced, this document is accessible. I don't know whether on the website is there. This is the sports plan, it's our Bible. It talks about every aspect and who does what time, and all of that is very detailed, and so on. And I think honorable members must also have it for information.
I misunderstood what the team was saying. It seems, Minister, they were saying we are owing them because we have taken over their data. FNP's data, national data now. Therefore, if they are giving back their money, even minus interest, 500 million, then they can build it on their affairs. This 41 million that they are left, you hijacked, in fact, their data. And the president was making a real appeal, though, saying to the community, please, as you engage with your colleagues in the executive, please just persuade the minister to persuade the leadership of the country to give back our state. Because no association can survive financially without the state. And therefore, we are owing them 500 million rand, and it was maybe the reason the money is not there.
I think that's the point that it was the first time we hear about that anyway.
The minister also made the following point, if I may just say that as youth leader, he woke up one morning and wanted to ban liquor. He wanted to have liquor banned on Sunday. I want to tell you that it happened on the Monday morning because he was very bubbleless after the Sunday.
No, I thought the DG and the DM must answer this question. Unfortunately, the issue of SAFA being owed by government does not come formally to us as government so that it can be an issue that we can interpret. It's not something written that they brought to us. I've read about it in the papers, and SAFA executive, through their leadership, have not come to us and said that we've got a financial problem, you owe us money, and please attend to this issue, so that if indeed there was money owed, I can approach the executive, and I'll be able today to tell you that indeed that story does obtain. There is nothing of that sort that has actually come before us to tell us that they have been owed money. I do, however, privy to an informal discussion about that money. So I can't elevate an informal discussion to a matter of formality at the level of government and the portfolio committee. That indeed we must now come here and explain something that has not been brought to us. So, yeah.
DG,
thank you, Chair. Let me start with netball. We did meet with netball after our last session. And the good news is ultimately we and netball agreed on a hybrid model where they will own the league itself at the national level, but the 10 teams will be franchised and will have to be bought. This was the only way. But the mechanics of this model, we appointed BMI to work with them, netball. And at the end of this month, May, we are supposed to receive the final report on the model, which will now, if adopted by both us and netball and the mechanics, we can now start the open process of selling the franchises, which will be a way to start. So this thing has really delayed us. We had hoped that the kickoff will be in August, but it doesn't look likely in the light of the fact that we still have to sell package and sell the 10 franchises. So it's going to take us some time, but we are still confident that perhaps by this year we can still have a kickoff, depending on how the franchises go in sales. But the thing is that we have now found each other, so, which was the major key issue. So now that's done. In respect of the delay in the lease agreement, I'm sure the committee appreciates that we, Public Works, has to enter into the leases, not us. If it was up to us, we would have long signed the lease agreement with the landlord. But the key issue is on the some obligations of the landlord vis-a-vis some of our needs. So Public Works, as our agent, has to negotiate those specific needs we require in order for the landlord to put them into the new lease agreement and so on. So we have been going on a month-to-month basis. There was a period of about 7 months we were not paying over rent to Public Works, and because there was no lease agreement. And we were afraid that if we pay, it would be an irregular expenditure in the absence of a lease. But the Auditor General has now returned to us an opinion saying that no, in essence, because the lease is not between us and Public Works, and the landlord is between Public Works and the landlord. If Public Works so invoices us, our source document is the invoice, so we shouldn't be worried whether Public Works has a lease or it doesn't. So we should pay over Public Works. What he does with the landlord does their business. So we have now paid what we have been owing all along to Public Works, and it's up to them now to sort out this with that. The key thing is, what does Sports Plan say? We have to now deliver what is called the Sports House. And now, with the concept of the Sports House, it means those premises we are at now are no longer sufficient, because now we have to house all smaller federations that administratively are fully dependent on us, and it means us moving out into a new area. Right now, the seat of government is Tshwane, and cabinet has a resolution that says we have to be in Tshwane and the metropole area, and preferably in the CBD. So if we have to look outside the CBD, perhaps Shuron or wherever, but where the preoccupation is still accessibility for people to still be able to reach us, the challenge is that the facilities we need for the sports house, including access to sporting fields, grounds, and high performance centers and so on, doesn't look likely that we have any such building after the scoping exercise has been done in the whole of Tshwane. It does, though, mean that we have to consider with Public Works the possibility of having to build a new facility altogether, new offices and everything. So our consideration now is discussions between us and the Department of Defense, who can potentially give us a piece of land to build in their campus, or alternatively discussions with the University of Pretoria where we can build. And that way, the Pretoria model is the cheaper one, because then we can share in the existing facilities with the university as an institution if it is located. But the Council of the University of Pretoria is not that keen on releasing land in the light of the growth, exponential growth of the university itself. So it's a balancing thing that I think negotiations will take us some time to finalize. In respect of the issue of the budget, Honorable Nongonyana, last financial year, 2011-2012, we had a surplus rather than an under expenditure. I'm saying so because I know we spent way beyond the 880 that is given to us. So we had a surplus of 12 million rents, which we had to surrender back to the treasury. Largely the amount was earmarked funds from the Love Life grant, because we only started transferring to them in the third quarter because of the dispute in the last financial year. And them too didn't have sufficient time to spend all the money there, and we couldn't use the money for any other thing. We had to surrender it back to Treasury. This year, 2012-2013, the year under review, we spent 98.2% of our entire budget, and we were only remaining with 9.4 million. and there were three key issues. Treasury increased our budget for rental in the light of the lease story and every other thing. And we were given money to look for a new building. But as I've just reported, we couldn't find the new building. So we continued paying the rent we had. Meanwhile, there was an increased portion that we were not spending. So, and we couldn't also use that money for any other purpose. We had to leave there. The other was on personnel. We have had a huge attrition rate and with limited recruitment. So we have now gone full-blown recruiting, but there was some money in personnel also remaining. And lastly was the issue of school spot. We were negotiating with the lotto around the issue of them giving us money for school spot, and there were a lot of wranglings and non-commitments in respect of them committing that will give us the money. And I had to be prudent as an accounting officer. I had to leave money in school spot to make sure that if they don't give us the money, we have something to deliver the national championship. And so we parked money there, and we couldn't touch it because until we were sure that the lottery will trust money. They only told us on the first day of the championship that they have granted us money.
Okay.
So now, which essentially left us with only 2 months, 2 weeks before our system closes for us to spend the money that we had parked there, because all of a sudden we had money of the lottery and we had our own money to deliver the same championship. So we had attempted to drive as much of this money as possible and also support some of the sport-focused schools. And I think the other challenge with the school sport program was we also set money aside to support the sport-focused schools. But as I reported to this committee last time, we have only designated 83 of the schools this far, and we need 780 of the schools. So until we are able to designate all, and basic education says this is the school for tennis and this one, so we will not be able to give those schools money unless they have been designated. Their SGBs have taken a vote to approve that the sporting code of that specific school is tennis or is whatever it's designated for, and they have signed an agreement that we have prepared. So if we can contact the schools faster, the other challenge is with the Ministry of Sports Bazaar. We budget 5.3 million, but we only spend 4.8, and largely because the number of children we can take to these schools are dependent on the availability of the schools. So if there are no schools to send the children to, even if they are talented, we would not be able to send the children to a school that is not designated. So this has created a conundrum. But from the 12 million we had remaining in the 2011-2012, it's a great improvement in 2012-2013 to 9.4. But we believe that we actually have a potential to spend everything. In fact, I have now directed the CFO that we have to leave 100 rands at the end of 2012-2013 because of the rural sport improvement program that we have just introduced. I think it will drain the bulk of the We have to spread the equipment right through the country in this regard. As it relates to the issue, lastly, of the ownership of the FNB stadium, that's not true at all what has been said. I think it's grossly misleading. Because while, yes, it is true, SAFA originally undertook a bond with FNB to build the old FNB stadium. That bond was about 500 million to build in those days' terms. And the stadium was built. It was supposed to be a three-tier building process. Only tier one was built. So the stadium itself was an unfinished product, even at the end of the bond. SAFA was supposed to service this bond, and they couldn't. And the person who built the stadium at the time, Greenacre, had not yet meshed with LTA. It was still Greenacre alone, and Greenacre had built the stadium. Greenacre too had to safeguard its interest by taking out the federal bond to pay itself and the losses it has suffered in lieu of the fact that someday SAFA will make money and pay them. So consequently, FNB consolidated the two and gave a portion of the loan to Greenacre and retained the portion by which SAFA owed them. That situation went on and on, and with interest, the amount had exponentially grown to about 890 million in unserviced debt. So by the time the World Cup, fast forward to the World Cup, it comes. And now, the other catch was that the stadium has always been built on public, on land owned by Public Works. Mm. That land, even where Saba House is built, the land belongs to Public Works. Mm. So, technically speaking, everything there, including Saba House, belongs to Public Works, because whatever is built on my land belongs to me. Mm. You know? So in strictest speaking, in terms of the law, that's what it is. However, you can, by a number of remedies legally, extract the value of the thing and compensate and retain and so on. But the land essentially belongs to the state, and the stadium was built on state land. When the thing came to the World Cup and FND was included as part of the deed, there was a discussion between government and SAFA. SAFA couldn't pay its bond on FNB, and FNB wanted to safeguard its interest then, to say, but if you demolish the stadium and you build another one, by law it may mean we have lost money, you know. And so, and then someone had to take responsibility of paying off the bond. And SAFA had already given Greenacre a right of first refusal. They had said when the stadium just would be expanded to phase two and phase three, you will build a stadium. So Greenacre, owing to the fact that there's a potential of it building or expanding the stadium, accepted the notion that says, no, it is okay. We may not as well demand the money right away. And so when government came to the party with the World Cup and wanted to build the stadium, Greenacre wanted to enforce that right of first refusal, to which government said, no, there's clear procurement processes in government. Once we pay off the bonds, we don't owe you anything, and SAFA doesn't owe you anything. And so Public Works came to the party. Government bought the stadium from SAFA for $1. And this $1 was a difference between their debts, which we paid to FNB and to Greenacre. And in exchange, after clearing their debts, which were amounting to about 890 million, or almost a billion, we then, this was before we even built the stadium, just to pay off their debts. And we gave them a rent in compensation to say thank you. And the agreement was signed jointly between SAFA and government. And thereafter, Public Works then demolished that stadium, and we started building the new World Cup stadium. And Greenacre, ultimately, the settlement was, it was Greenacre and LTA. Well, they became a contractor, but they didn't exercise the right of first refusal. They went through to tender, and they were the preferred bidder, naturally, correctly so, and they were appointed as a builder of the stadium, and they built the new stadium. So government paid twice for the building of this new stadium, but for the old one as well. So it is grossly misleading for SAFA today to say we have taken their stadium, because then they must refund us the losses and the loans that they had for that stadium. The 890, almost a billion, the legal costs that went with it and every other thing, they'll have to give that to government first before they claim the new stadium. And also the cost of building this new one, they must also compensate government for that. So it is really grossly misleading to say that, because this history is recorded. And even now, when we were fighting with FNB over the naming rights of the stadium for AFCON, it wasn't SAFA negotiating with FNB. It was Public Works. Even ASPA couldn't, because the property belongs to Public Works. But Minister Nesi was at the forefront of sharing the meetings and trying to resolve this issue, because the stadium belongs to government. And we, the national government, decided to place the stadium under the custodianship of the city of Johannesburg to manage on behalf of the people of Johannesburg and Gauteng. And consequently, Johannesburg itself felt that it would be a cash drain on it, and further outsourced the management of the stadium to Stadium Management South Africa, which now is an interested party in everything that happens. And we had to resolve to give FNB, suspend their naming rights, but extend their rights by a further 2 years to 2016. Originally, by the deal between SAFA and FNB, the naming rights were supposed to be perpetual. So the stadium was to be called FNB Perpetuity. But in the light of the fact that we have demolished the old one and we have paid, and we have also paid them their bond and everything, we negotiated a 10-year rights period, and in 2014, since the World Cup. And in 2014, the rights were supposed to expire, but with AFCON, they found us in a tight corner, and we had to negotiate with them an extension for the suspension of their rights during AFCON. and then we had to extend by a further 2 years, and by which FNB has agreed to pay compensation to government. So they are paying us for the first year 5.7 million and for the second, I think, 7.2 million. So that's the settlement between us and them. Oh, yes, and then the 6 years that they didn't have the right to exercise the naming, but they were paying, you know. So we had to agree with a settlement of the 2 years thereafter. So the stadium, in truth, I wish to confirm to this committee that it belongs to government, not to SAFA.
The ban is a very serious problem. If the president of the organization can come so presently saying this statement is not true, simply means that even himself is not well informed about the exchanges and everything. We know that, and thank you very much for that. And I think it's very useful for us. Because we are just here because we are a member. It's not about you. It's not about you. Just a member. That's why we are here. And and I think we meet with them next time, again engage in this thing, because if they can mislead us on simple matters like that, they will mislead us on many other issues. And then it's not just correct for them to have done that. Surely president shouldn't say things that are not correct, because there are public issues and everyone now knows it creates problems. And then, okay, that's fine. I think we'll deal with it separately. Honourable Minister, what is your overall concluding remark now? And then for the sport, are we on track? And are we moving forward, both male and female sport? And we know that the challenges that are there for us. But what would be your concluding remark as we also towards our end of our term? And in general, I think there should be concluding remarks from the Minister for us as we prepare for the debate on the 23rd and then E249. Of course, Cora, you take charge of your ANC caucus. A study could be issued. That's why you are going to be there. Because I don't want you to be by now in a minute. And then Honourable Minister, they take that point then.
So, thank you, Honourable Chair, and Honourable Members, for the opportunity to be here. I think we are on track. One of the things that we are raising in the report is the transformation, the scorecard, and the transformation charter. We have met with the transformation committee, and we have also met with SASCOC, and we have laid down the terms of how this transformation thing is going to go about. And chief amongst the things that are going to happen, the transformation committee is going to be like our statistics of South Africa. That is going to tell us the story of transformation. What are the bottlenecks and what are the challenges? And they will release the results, among others, of which bodies are not transforming in terms of the scorecard and the transformation charter, and what are the bottlenecks. Name and shame. The issue of the quotas, you know that the department and myself as the minister argued strongly against the quotas, that they are counterproductive and so on. But at the spot in Durban, you will remember there was a big debate there, and we were defeated. And it was agreed that we must maintain these quotas for a period of time. And now we expect the transformation committee to elaborate the implication and the implementation of those quotas in the context of the scorecard and the transformation charter, of which I suppose that in the next week we will then be in a position through them to communicate with the different federations on that particular point. There's been generalizations about our ability to undertake transformation and to implement it. And I think that we are on course with regard to that. Overall, if you ask me, I can tell you now, unlike before, and from the onset, that we've got an agenda, we've got a vision, and we know where we're going, and we know what we want to achieve. And for us to come to full cycle, see the implementation of that, we must do all the things that we set for ourselves in the sports plan. And I suppose that is an important foundation for us actually going forward. So I'm quite confident that within the period we've set for ourselves, if we've got focused leadership and we're able to follow what was agreed upon in the sports plan, we should be in a position to take South Africa to a better position in the next 10, 20 years to come. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. Colleagues, I think we have really resourced a very fruitful engagement, Minister, because it was not about a peripheral of things, not just about a peripheral of things, this data. It was really about a real issue of transformation and development of sport. I think it's very useful. I think as we prepare all ourselves, Mackenzie, for debate, we can also still engage the Deputy Minister in 2009 debate. And then we can still engage him on that. But thank you very much, colleagues, and then let us attend the meeting. And so that is something for Honourable Member to buy to that side. But thank you so much.
Thank you.